come to one of the most important teachings of this entire series regarding business management and how to respond to change and to crisis in these times. And that is that of decision making. Everything that we said in the previous lessons will have to be weighed heavily in the light of making decisions. And so for this tape, we'd like to share with you what we feel like is the very best possible way you can reach a decision wisely. Remember this, that all decisions should be spiritual decisions. Never, never, never make a decision without considering the spiritual significance of that particular decision. I wouldn't tell you this if I didn't know that God's Word has provided for us that atmosphere in which we can reach decisions. We have someone to help us at this time. This is the reason the Christian has such a tremendous advantage over those who don't know the Lord, simply because we have God's Spirit abiding in us that will help us. In fact, one of His prime purposes in our life is to help us, to lead and guide us into all truths. Beside me is my wife, Polly, and I've asked her to read this scripture in John, the 16th chapter, verse 13, and she's going to be reading from the Amplified New Testament. Polly?
But when He, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, He will guide you into all truths, the whole full truth. For He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him, and He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, and that will happen in the future.
Isn't that beautiful?
It truly is, Perry. It's great to know that we have someone that can guide us into the decisions that we have to make, that knows all about what's taking place, that we don't have to just fumble around in the dark, but that we have an all-knowledgeable individual, the Holy Spirit, to give us direction.
And Polly, that's one of the things that's so neat about what's happening today, is that God is not going to leave His people in the dark about what's happening today or what's taking place today. This is the reason that God has poured out knowledge in the lives of His people, to where when we come to a situation like this, we don't need to be caught unaware of the events or the times or the changes or what's going to be taking place. He said, He, the Spirit of truth, is going to guide you into all truth. That's just fantastic to know that we have that kind of a relationship with God, that we are fine-tuned in with God. And this is something, you know, the Lord's really been speaking to us about. And for years now, we have just not moved in any direction, in any area of our ministry, except we knew that we were fine-tuned in, that we were plugged in to God and to the direction that God wanted us to go. And, you know, this really, even though we have virtually tried for many years in our own lives, probably over 30 years of our lives, have tried really hard to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives, yet in the mid-70s, God really began to speak to us in this area of following the Spirit, of walking in harmony with God's Spirit and His direction, and plugging in to the biblical principles of God so that we really know. And this is the key. when we move in harmony with God's Word and with what God's saying today, then life will work for us in every area of our life. And it's all spelled out. Life was designed to flow. Life was not designed to be a struggle. Now, God will take the struggling moments in our life when we are struggling, and He'll cause it to work for our good. But God designed life to work, and He designed it to flow for the Christian. He said that the way of the transgressor is hard. He never said anywhere or indicated anywhere that the way of the Spirit-led Christian would be hard. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be situations that come and circumstances are not going to be unpleasant, but He certainly didn't intend for us to live under that kind of a relationship year after year, day after day. He wanted us to walk in harmony as our lives are flowing in harmony with God's will and with his plan. John 10:10 says, it's Satan. The thief is the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God has designed our lives to be an abundant life, filled to the overflowing, to an overflowing level. That's the life God's designed us. And we need, when we find our life not working like that, we need to find out if we're not following the Spirit, or if we're not flowing with God, or if we're not in the mainstream of what God's doing today, and then move into that, the center of the stage where God is flowing, where God is moving, and where things are happening and unfolding in God's plan of our lives today. And just to think the Spirit of truth is abiding in our lives to give us direction today. You know, we've read a lot of papers, listened to a lot of news, and tried. I find it a little difficult at times to schedule myself to listen to the news, because often after you've heard the news, you're more confused than you were before you heard the news, because you can listen to one and you'll get one report, to another you'll get a conflicting report. So the only way that I know, Polly, and this has been a source of our life through the years, through all of our married life, is that we've plugged in to a source that knows all the truth. And so why confuse ourselves with a lot of negative input when God is our source of truth and will guide us into all truth in every area of our life? Rapid change in major institutions have occurred in the last decade, and you cannot depend on the old ways. As we talked in an earlier session, the banking system is undergoing a tremendous change, an unbelievable change today. And many of our financial institutions, our savings and loans, are undergoing some of the greatest changes that they've ever undergone, and many of their actions and many of their activities are really outdated, and some things are happening today that's going to cause them to upgrade, or they're going to no longer serve a meaningful purpose to our generation. The world has changed and will never be the same. The rules that we've operated in past by are changing, a whole new set of rules now. But God's in control. And this is the good news about this truth, is that God is in control of the whole situation. Nothing's out of control. Man may be out of control, but God's not out of control. And those that are plugged into God, their lives are flowing in harmony with God, and God is furnishing the direction for their lives. Number two, violent upheavals, crises, shortages, overnight changes will make decision-making by natural thinking, the world's way, near impossible. it's going to cause a breakdown in leadership, because as those outside of God, as their lives deteriorate and fall apart at a deeper level, God's people will move into the center of the stage and will begin to fill in the vacuum of leadership where there's the need for that. All over the country, Polly, one of the most phenomenal things I know anything about today is that all over the country, God is raising up born-again Christians who are led by the Spirit of God. They're moving into places of leadership. They're moving into the city government. They're moving into the state government. They're moving into the federal government, into leadership capacities. We have men at all levels today who are walking with God and who hear from God on a daily basis. And so things have never been as, in the eyes of the world, as shaky as they are right now. And all stock markets and all news will indicate that. But God is in total control. And one of the things that might be misunderstood in this teaching, and that might be that you might get a negative feeling from some of the things we're saying. But we're saying that even though things appear to be negative, that this is an exciting time. And you and I were talking this morning, darling, about the excitement that we feel today about what's happening and about what's going on. Now, if we were plugged into the world system and to the world's way of making decisions, my goodness, we'd be thinking like a lot of other people. What in the world is going to happen? Everything's caving in. People are out of work. Today, 10 million workmen are out of work. That could be alarming and disturbing. But God's in control. God is in control of our situation today. So the ideal thing is for an individual to prepare themselves for it. You cannot rely on the world for directions. We'll have to trust God and look to God for decisions. All decisions, every decision we make must be basically spiritual. All decisions should be made spiritual, in the realm of the Spirit. God, what are you saying to me today? What do you want me? This is the reason, Polly, for a long time, a daily prayer of our heart has been, God, what did you have planned for my life today? Psalms 139 says that God recorded every day of our life before we began to breathe. And so this is the reason we're saying every day, God, whatever you recorded in your book, whatever you had planned for me today, let me flow in that particular area. No natural decisions. The scripture says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's by the Spirit of God that we're going to really make wise decisions in our life and in our world today. Those who develop this special guidance system, fine-tuning, and wisdom will possess unusual insight into life and circumstances. Wherever you are, trust God to guide you. I think that's some of the best advice we could ever give. Whatever you're experiencing right now, whatever's going on in your life, whatever circumstances you're facing, whether they are pleasant or unpleasant, trust God. Tell God right now that you need Him to guide you. Just tell Him that you need His direction in your life, and you need His help in your life right now, and God will come to your rescue. God will give you the direction that's necessary in your life. We're only going to make wise decisions when we are plugged into God. The world systems will be paralyzed at a time like this, and with indecision and fear. And this is the reason that we need to prepare ourselves and develop ourselves and become knowledgeable of this very fact, so that we can fill the leadership vacuum that is formed by the world system as they more and more fall apart and are unable to move into the center of the stage and begin to make good decisions and begin to follow God in whatever point God is trying to lead them into. Number two, steps to making spiritual decisions. How do we do it? What are the steps we are to take? And I think we ought to just analyze these and one by one cover them in detail. First of all, I think we have to have the power of God, the infilling of the Holy Spirit as a guidance system in our life, the destiny that flows through our lives as we just simply gather the facts and ask God to take those facts, formulate His will and His plan in our particular life. First of all and foremost, we must make decisions based on the homework that we've already done. You know, we've talked about the guidance system. We've talked about God's power to flow through us and to direct us and to give us the direction that we need. And the most dangerous thing that an individual could do today would be to make a decision and simply by saying, well, I'm just going to pray and God's going to work it out. That method, and I'm sure not minimizing prayer, because I'll be the first to say, don't do anything. And that's what we are saying. Pray about it. Seek God about it. But do more than that. Don't just pray about it. Don't just ask God to work it out. Don't put all the responsibility on God to do it, because God's going to do that based on your capabilities and upon our knowledge. And so we must do our part if we're to arrive at a good decision. We have a certain responsibility that we have to play. We have to fulfill our particular role. Romans 8:28 says that we have a responsibility. In fact, we basically have two responsibilities. Romans 8:28 just simply says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and the called according to His purpose. Our responsibilities, Polly, in that passage of Scripture are to love God, number one, and fit into God's plan. Fit into God's plan. Become knowledgeable in every situation. And then God has the responsibility of making all things work together for our good. Now, there's a delicate balance between what God will do for us and our responsibilities. And I think that's the thing that I'd like to help clarify at this particular time. So one of the things that you'll have to do in making the decision, you're going to have to gather the facts. You're going to have to get the knowledge, the information, find out what the options are concerning that particular situation. That means you're going to need to attend seminars. You're going to need to read trade journals. You're going to need to feed in the information into your mind. Otherwise, you're not going to be qualified to make a really intelligent decision. It's just not going to be possible to do it. I think then the second thing, we must prayerfully feed the information into our mind. Think, write it down, and there's no way to make a good decision without writing all of the facts down regarding a particular decision that we're making. And once we've written all the facts down, and Polly, you and I have used this method throughout the years of making decisions when we sit down and write all the facts. When we write it down, we then can properly evaluate. And Polly, as we've made both the small decisions and large decisions over the years, we sit down and write down the facts that would be the pros and the cons, the things that would be for it, the things that would be against it. And what is extremely helpful is that the mind seems to sometimes ignore all the facts. But when you put it down on paper and can weigh up the little facts, the big facts, then we get this information fed into our mind, then we literally ought to just sit down and relax the mind and the body and ask for guidance from God. The old timer would say, if you know somebody's asking him to make a decision about a certain thing, he'd say, "Well, let me sleep on it." Now, what he was saying is that you need to relax. You know, a lot of people in making decisions are going to get all uptight, going to get all bogged down in fear, and they're going to get worry in intermingled with all that, and the mind will get uptight until there'll be hid from the conscious mind many of the facts. But see, the mind's a beautiful thing in that it's like a computer, and all through the years, all the things we've learned, and this is the reason we say, you know, go to seminars, read trade magazines, go to vocational schools, talk to people who are in the business, get to know, make close friends of people who are doing what you're planning to do or what you're doing right now. And so in just the course of time, your mind is fed all of this information, and it's beautiful, Polly, that the mind doesn't ever forget anything. Now, we may not be able, with our own ability, to recall a particular event, but some of the most recent surveys reveal that they're able to go back with hypnosis and help us recall some of the things that we otherwise might not be able to bring to surface at that particular time. In fact, the police is now using this to be able to bring an individual in and under hypnosis cause that person, and of course what this does, it puts the conscious mind out of gear, and then they begin to talk or deal with the subconscious, and often the subconscious mind is able to recall a license plate that may have only been viewed at a glance, the color of the car, the description of it, and even the description of the individual. And then the artist is able to project that on paper, and often within hours an arrest can be made simply by this. So what we're really saying is that all of the things we have fed into the mind, the computer, and it is far greater than any computer that we have ever been able to build in the world today. Even though there's some magnificent computers today, there's never been anything that will begin to equal the computer ability of the mind to record events. So as we deposit all of this information into the mind, then when we relax, sit down, and just ask God for guidance, then allow God to speak to us, then we begin to decide what is the best logical approach to a particular situation. And I think that's so healthy. But we must relax. We must just relax. Otherwise, the body will not be able to function properly so that we'll be able to come to a really good decision. I'd like to read a passage of Scripture in Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, verse 3. I was studying this Scripture today. It's such an enlightening scripture. And at a time like this, we're talking about plugging into the wisdom of God. And we're talking about allowing God to guide us and direct us. This is a scripture that we ought to get in our spirit. Jeremiah the 33rd chapter, verse 3 says, "Call upon me." We're praying now. "And I will answer thee." My, that's powerful. "And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." See, what the subconscious mind has deposited in it, God is going to cause our subconscious mind to just bring to memory those things from the logical standpoint. And if we've prepared ourselves, then we're going to be able to arrive at a very intelligent, healthy decision at that particular time in our life. Polly, I think if we can encourage the people, these business people that are listening right now, to somehow or other tune in to God and allow God to show them great and mighty things which they are not even conscious of today. God's doing that right now. God is giving knowledge. God's giving direction. God's giving the kind of inflow into their life that is going to cause them to make the right decisions. I know that we're ministering to somebody right now that's going to be able to take this truth and make a decision that's going to be right in harmony with God's will and begin to flow right on target with God. Now, this will have to come from an humble heart. You know, the ego that people of the world who are without Christ have can't humble themselves to ask God for direction. You know, they're hung up in this area of ego, and it, you know, it takes humbling yourself. It takes going before God, simply saying, "Now, God, I don't know the direction. I've done my homework. I've done the studying. I've done the necessary research. I have applied myself in study. I have sought out all the facts evolved in this particular situation. But now, God, you take that and my willingness to follow you, and you give me the directions." He said, "I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." What a powerful truth. God is going to do that. God's going to bring the direction. God's going to help us to know exactly the turn of the road that we're to take. But we're not to get uptight about it. We're not to get alarmed about it. We're not to get disturbed about it. Don't allow doubt to come in and bring with it negative forces. Because, Polly, doubt and fear are like a magnet. When we have doubt and fear in a given situation, it's like a huge magnet that just draws all kinds of negative forces. And if we can plug into to God's infinite wisdom, which He said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to plug into the mainstream. I want you to flow with knowledge about what to do. Great and mighty things which you don't know what to do. God's going to do that. Listen, the doubt will just attract a negative force into our life that we'll be unable to function as we ought to function. And fear, oftentimes, fear will fill our hearts at a level, at a time of indecision, especially if the decision is not reached fairly soon. We will just be paralyzed with fear. But the Christian doesn't need to do that, because God is in total control of his life, and he is going to guide us and give us direction. If we don't get the decision immediately, just recognize that God is saying it's not time yet. There's some more waiting to do, or some more preparation that must take place. We've said ask God to reveal his plan to you. According to Jeremiah 33:3, he has promised to do that. Now, after you have asked God to do it, then don't go back asking him again, but each time it crosses your mind, the thought comes to you, you simply thank God for it. You thank him for it. Don't continue at that time to ask him for it, but begin to relax and begin to thank God that God is giving you the answer that you need, that he's giving you the direction that you need. You've prepared yourself. You've got the knowledge. You have the skill. You have abilities. You have really allowed your mind to be open to God's direction. And now then, remember that God wants to give you direction more than you want the direction. Now, that's not minimizing your desire. And somebody may be saying right now, you don't know how much I want God's will. And I don't know how much you want God's will. But I can say that no matter how much you want God's will, God wants to guide your life. Would you say that's true, Polly?
Yes, I really know that's true from all of God's word that we have studied, that he wants to give us the good things of life, whatever it is, whether it's guidance or supplying our needs or in whatever way we need him, that he wants to do it even more than we want it.
I remember, darling, at one time you and I were needing a large amount of money to satisfy a note. The note had been at the bank. It was about $500,000. Give or take a few dollars, and we had gone through 38 lenders. I'll never forget that we had gone through lender after lender trying to secure the money, and we'd been unable to secure an anchor tenant for the shopping center, and consequently, we had been unable to get the funds to do it with. The note had been at the bank 2 years, only 1 year or a little less than a year with in our name, but it had been already financed in this same bank, and they had just extended the loan to us. And the bank examiners, looking at this raw, undeveloped land, non-productive land, which is the kind of collateral that banks and bank examiners really frown upon, probably the poorest collateral for them at all, because there's no income on it. It's not productive. It's raw. It has to have somebody with ideas and the vision and the money and the courage to act and the plans. And so all of that is a long ways from productivity. So banks don't like it, and bank examiners run backward when it's left too long. They just get scared half to death over a situation like this. And so that's where they were, and you know, our banker had told us that they could not do anything about it. But you remember, darling, that we had all done all the legwork that we knew to do. We'd done everything. We had turned every stone. We had not left a stone unturned towards securing the lending. We actually needed about somewhere around $4.5 million to fund the shopping center, to get it built, and it's going to take about a year to do that, to build the shopping center. But the production on it, the economic projection showed that we were going to make all of us together, we're going to make somewhere around $250,000, around $269,000 a year off of rentals. And, you know, we were set at that time to make about $1 million off of construction on it that year. And we had done everything. I can just remember, I remember we'd contacted every lender in Texas that we knew anything about. Now, we had the funding. You know, a mortgage banker in Dallas had told me 2 weeks after we started, Perry, send your financial statements, your economic projections, and your plans in, and we'll look at this, review this, and give you an answer. And he called me back, Dave Hendricks, called back in a couple weeks and said, Perry, we've got the money. We've got the money waiting for you. Whatever it was we needed, $3.5-4 million we needed. Said, we've got the money waiting for you. All we need is that anchor tenant. And our national chain grocery store were dragging their feet where they were being unable to get a warehouse centrally located so they could supply out of it. They couldn't afford to just bring groceries in from Dallas, that far away from a stock warehouse. So they couldn't get it all together. And obviously, it wasn't God's plan for our life at that time, but for it to happen. And it became very clear that that was what God was doing and saying. And, you know, we weren't going to knock any doors down. We were going to say, God, we just want your spirit to direct us in this situation. And I'll never forget that day that I got up that morning, fully dressed and ready for the day's activity. It was 7 days till this $500,000 loan was due. And you said, Perry, what are you going to do today? And I said, with all the peace, with all the calmness, with all the confidence that I've ever had in anything I've ever done in my life, I said, darling, I'm not going to do a thing today. I'm going to sit down right here in this comfortable chair, and I'm going to spend the day with you. I've done everything I'm to do, and the rest is up to God. Now, I'd be the first to say that unless you know you have done everything you're supposed to do, what I'm emphasizing is us doing our part, and then God will do his part. Every time, God will do his part. I sat down that day, and you'll remember the events of that day. Were they ever exciting? A little while, the telephone rang, and a bank that we had never done business with, never borrowed one dime, never had one dime on deposit, called and said, I understand that you all need about $500,000 to fund a loan for that shopping center land. And I said, we really do. And he said, we have the money available. Come by and let's talk about it. A little while later, another bank called that we had never done business. They were a small bank, had only $5 million on deposit in this bank. They called and said, I understand you all need about $500,000 for a loan on the land. And we said, yeah, we really do. And he said, just want you to know we've got the money. Here was a little bank, a brand new bank, the newest bank in town. They had only been chartered a short time, willing to loan us, who was not even a customer of theirs, 10% of their total deposits on that one loan. Of course, they couldn't do that without help from a parent bank. But anyway, in the same course of the day, before the day was over, my banker that where we had done business for over 30 years called and said, Perry, I don't know why I didn't tell you this, but we're going to make that loan for you one way or the other. We're not going to sit by and see you all lose the money that you've put into that land. And he said, I don't know where we're going to put it, but we're going to stick it somewhere in this bank. Here's three bankers, darling, in one day's time. Only 7 days before the deadline. And on that deadline, we'd have lost everything we had in it, which wasn't an awful lot of money, but we put several months of time and effort and thought into it from time to time. And then, of course, the money that we put into it. And And it just bears out what we've taught and are teaching right now, that when we do our part, when we do everything, when we do the groundwork, we do everything we're to do, God is obligated to come in and help us at a particular time like that. So that day was just thanking God for that God was going to meet the need, that God was in control. We never doubted that. Polly, I never had one doubt in my heart. I don't know where the faith came from. I don't know how it happened, except I knew that God was not going to let us down. God had not brought us to that point in our life to fail us. And I think that's a word that those of you listening by cassette tape today need to know. God, if you've done your part and you've been faithful to God, God's not going to let you down. It may come right down to the wire. Now remember, you'll have to do your, you just can't sit down at some early point in your life and say, well, I'm going to let God work it out. God's not going to work it out unless we do our part. I knew, Polly, I had done my part. And I knew that everybody else involved had done their part. And all we had to do was just thank God that God was in control and confess that He was going to help us in that particular decision. You need to expect the right decision to come. Expect the right decision. See, if we get all locked in and say, well, you know, this is what I want. Now, God can do anything He wants to, but, you know, this is what I really want. And we get all hung up and get our mind going in the wrong direction, we're not in neutral where God can flow through us. And so we're not going to be in the best condition for God to be able to give us the right decision. With a thankful heart, mull over the situation, relax, open yourself to receive the right answer from God. Not just any answer from God, but the right answer from God. And that was the right answer from God for us at that time. That was the right answer. This allowed us, gave us the time we were only asking. We only wanted 6 months more to be able to put a package together. And this bank voluntarily said, at a tremendous rate of interest at that time, said, we want to make that loan for a year. And they did. They did. So don't fret. Don't get uptight. Don't worry. No anxiety should be involved in the decision making. But after you've done that, I've named four things that you have to do. The fifth thing, make a decision. Make a decision. And Polly, I guess I've said this 100 times over the past few years of teaching as we've traveled all over the country teaching. Make a decision. Make the decision. After you've done all that you know to do, after you've done everything right that you know to do, you've been open to God, you haven't been uptight, you haven't been locked in saying, God, you're going to have to do it this way. You've been open with God. You've been honest with God. You've allowed God to direct you, and you've thanked God for the right answer. Then make a decision. And I've said many times that even if you make a wrong decision, God is obligated. Polly, you know, I don't know, you can't get insurance to cover that kind of a deal. God's the only one that I know can insure you in a situation like that. He said that if you love God and you're fitting into His plan, He's going to take everything, all things, and cause it to work for your good. And I mean, darling, even when it looks bad, even when it doesn't look favorable, it looks like all the odds are against you, God is going to cause that situation to work out for our good. I think you ought to just think about that for a moment. Just let that penetrate into your mind. Note this. Don't stay in the state of indecision. What happens, Polly, if we go too long without making a decision? We just, you know, when we allow ourselves to just go on and on and on and on and on in indecision, you know and I know that we really become paralyzed in our efforts. We just can't do anything. We cannot. We begin, this indecision begins to breed doubt. It begins to breed fear in our lives. And negative forces are attracted to us. And the first thing you know, we're not even in a position to know or hear from God at all. So we need to make a decision. In fact, I believe that indecision is probably one of Satan's greatest tools, Polly. And if he can get you bogged down, get you fearful about making decisions, get you to doubt your relationship with God, or doubt God, or doubt whether God cares about your circumstance, you're going to be in real trouble. As long as you can maintain that positive attitude toward God. And Polly, I'll never forget when we were selling a home that God had instructed us to buy. I never will forget that. That again, we were just walking in faith, walking in confidence. I never will forget, God had given us clear instructions that we were to return. He had told us earlier that we were to take time, get away, and study His Word like we had never seen the Word before. And this is what we did. We got alone, got away from the ranch, sold the cattle, got away from all the businesses, liquidated everything, got our minds free, and began to study God's Word just like we had never seen God's Word before. And then, which meant, of course, leaving the ranch and the business and the cattle and the church and all this. And then after about a two and a half year period of time of virtually spending time on a daily basis of studying the Word, applying ourselves to God and to God's will, God instructed us to come back to the ranch in Arkansas. Came back. You remember how God opened the door for us to begin to counsel in a local church here, go on the staff, and begin to teach. From that, of course, God opened many doors of counseling and teaching and seminars and teaching, of course, in the college here, the truths that God had been giving us. But our home was sitting back there, and it was not sold. And the payments were pretty high, and we couldn't just go on living with that. And it came right down to July the 31st, and we were going to have to do something about that note. It had to be paid. And I never will forget that with peace in our hearts, and again, it was 7 days before that note had to be paid off, the note that we were paying on. I'll never forget the confidence with which we walked. We had a fairly large note, and we needed to be able to sell this house in order to liquidate that note and alleviate the financial pressure that would be on our lives if that house did not sell. It had been on the market for probably 6 months at that time. No interest had been shown. All there had been people look, but we'd never had as much as one offer. And it was on a Friday evening, and we were in counseling all day long, and the receptionist, of course, had taken the phone calls, and we hadn't been able to answer the phone. She had just piled them up, and which was what she was supposed to do, because she was not to interrupt us while we were counseling the people. And I never will forget that a little after 5, the last person left who came for counseling, and we got the notes that she had prepared for us telling about the calls, and there were 6 calls. 5 of them pertained to other people who needed to talk to us about some need in their life. I made all those calls first, and then the 6th call was the real estate company. A real estate company had called and said that that they needed to talk to us about the house. Well, when I talked to them, they said the house is sold. Gave us the terms and the conditions, and you'll remember, what a thrill. We hadn't been uptight. We were not worried. We were not anxious. We were not in fear. We were not in doubt. We had asked God. We had done everything we were supposed to do. We were just thanking God for the answer. 7 days away from a large note to be paid and no way to pay it. We didn't have the money at that time, Dawn, to pay the interest on that note, because our money was virtually invested in the ranch, which we had paid off, and so our funds were in it. And so we were just rejoicing that the house was sold, and we told them we wanted to close it out on Wednesday and pay the note then, that same day, which was the day before it was to be due. And we came to church on Sunday morning, walked in at about 10 minutes before time to go to our class and teach the class, and we had a note telling us that we'd had a call from the realtor. I called the lady, and she said, "Perry, I don't know how to say this, but the deal's off. Evidently, the people have bought another piece of property and are not going to go through with purchasing your home." I don't know where these words came from, except I believe they came from a heart that was filled with faith. But I never doubted it. When I heard her say it, it had absolutely no effect. It didn't move me, darling. I never doubted for one single moment. But what it was all going to happen, just like God was in total control of it. And so I just said to the lady on the other end of the line, "Those people have a real problem." She said, "What do you mean, real problem?" I said, "They've bought that property and don't know it. They've bought our house and don't know it." And, of course, she didn't understand, and I didn't try to explain to her, because I didn't understand all that either. But I knew the house was sold. I remember, darling, the next act of faith. Of course, we went directly to the Sunday school class to teach it without a fear, without a worry, without a doubt in our mind. And this is the area we're talking about walking in today. And you remember, we had planned to bring the pickup in and get it tuned up on Monday, so that we'd be able to go on Tuesday, close the deal on Wednesday. Monday morning, we got up, drove the pickup in, put it in the garage, said, "We need you to tune this up. We're leaving in the morning to go. We've sold our home, and we're going to close the transaction." You know, darling, the world system would say, "Listen, you got to have a loose screw, you know. You're touched in the head. You've been told that the house is not sold, and you're saying it is sold." So we went through that day and came to the close of another day, and the lady called back and said, "I don't know what's happened, Perry. I can't explain it, but I have $10,000 cash in my hand right now. Your home has been sold." Boy, and this is exactly what we're talking about right now. Of walking in confidence, of thanking God, putting yourself into a neutral position, plugging into God's power, this truth-finding power of God, this knowledge, this infinite knowledge of God, and God will bring it to pass when that begins to happen. And, of course, you remember the rest of the story, darling, very well, that we went, closed the deal. We bought the house and paid, somewhere around around $116,000, $17,000. And we had owned it for a year and a half, 2 years, something like that. It lived in it, enjoyed it, ministered to a lot of people in it, and then sold it for $150,000, which God had was rewarding us and was supplying our needs, because we were not working. We didn't have any kind of a job. We didn't have any kind of an income. This was all something that God was doing to pay us during the time that we were spending most of our time in study and prayer and counseling and ministering to other people. So if you can get a hold of that decision-making power and plug into it, God is going to help you at a brand new level to begin to make decisions as never before.